Hello and welcome back to Reading and Writing for College Students of the Christian Leaders Institute. We are on the last unit, Unit 12 of this class, Further Considerations. I'm Sky Pike and we're going to talk about how reading and writing are important in apologetics and evangelism. So as we've been going through this, evaluating the work of others and talking about descriptive and critical and rhetorical analysis, critical thinking, descriptive writing and reading, we would need to ask ourselves if this applies in any way to apologetics and evangelism. And the truth is, yes, it is very similar and very much a part of apologetics and evangelism, but in the good way, not in the negative way. So, is apologetics mere rhetoric? Is evangelism mere rhetoric? Is it just about how we are effectively persuading others to come to Christ? In a bad sense, is it effectively how we're manipulating others to come to Christ? I remember one time when I back I was in my bachelor's degree, I went to a Christian college, Cornerstone University, and it's called Grand Rapids Baptist College back then. And we went out into the streets of Grand Rapids, Michigan, to do surveys. Now, I had a big problem with these surveys because I felt like we were trying to manipulate people to believe. Because we would go out asking, can we do a survey? And then we would try to present them with the gospel, because the main reason was not to do the survey. I don't know if they even collected the data. It was really to present them with the gospel. So to me, it was deceitful and manipulative. But is that why we do apologetics? Why we defend the gospel? Is that why we try to get others to come to Christ? No, we should do that because it is about the defense of the gospel and how we present the gospel, that we do it well. And why? Because the gospel is the truth of God. The fact is, the facts are that humans are sinful. Jesus, as God, died for our sins, was buried, was rose again the third day, and according to the scriptures, and after that was seen in many witnesses, of whom I, if I truly have to come to Christ, understand that I am the least. It is about the truthful content of the gospel that we really are doing apologetics and evangelism for. The other aspect we have to realize in all this is that it's not us. It's God's Holy Spirit using us in our poor, pitiful, sinful conditions that we are. God still, in his grace and mercy, uses us to speak the truth of the gospel for evangelism purposes and for the defense or apologetics of the gospel. We have a biblical precedence of this as well. In Acts 4, 1 through 2, Peter and John were brought before the ruling body of the Jews. This was actually after the resurrection of Christ. And they, in great apologetic form, defended their faith that Christ had risen from the dead. And it wasn't just faith for them. They defended the facts of the resurrection and that God, through the people of Israel, had prepared the people of Israel to bring forth the Messiah, who was Jesus Christ, and who they knew had risen from the dead if they just believed it and stopped following their own lies that they knew were lies. And so in a way, it was also evangelism. It was both apologetics and evangelism. In the same way, in Acts 26, Paul shares the gospel. He evangelizes King Agrippa, but he's also there in defense of the gospel. And these, in both cases, Peter and Paul and John used this critical thinking skills and the analysis, rhetorical analysis that comes with it, the best way to present those things as guided by the Holy Spirit to present the gospel and to defend the gospel. We speak the truth in love, but then the Holy Spirit takes over. But we have to speak the truth artfully, meaning we speak the truth using these processes of critical thinking to see what to glean the truth from the scripture, and then the rhetorical analysis so we find the best way to convey that truth, being persuasive but not manipulative. So what's the difference? Well, being persuasive, the intent is really to persuade someone, to convince someone of the truth or the idea that what you have. It is based in truth and it's based in transparency. This is what I'm doing, saying, and this is why I'm saying it. Those surveys we did were not transparent. They may have been truthful, maybe, but they weren't transparent. We would have better gone to those people and said, I'm a Christian. Would you answer some questions about what you believe? I'm interested. Then at least we're being transparent about who we are and who we're speaking about. The net benefit, especially in evangelism, defense of the gospel, is to uphold the truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ is, that he died, buried, and rose again according to the scriptures, and that he is coming again someday, and that people, through him, in faith, by the grace of God, can be saved for all of eternity. What about manipulation? What is that? Well, that's the exact opposite. The intent of manipulation is always to fool or control or to contrive, to back a person into a corner, to make them feel bad, to whatever means possible to get them to do something or believe something. Think of a child trying to twist his parent around his little finger to get them to do this or that, to buy that candy in the store. They throw the big hissy fit that, and the tears and the big alligator tears, and mom or dad finally give in and say, okay, have this candy. Well, they shouldn't do that. They should just let the child have the fit and keep going, because the candy's not good for them. But anyway, another story. Excuse me. In either case, the manipulation, the person's either harmed or at least left without benefit. How many people have been done manipulated in a church and have turned away from Christ because of that? What a sad testimony when we who are Christians are not transparent and truthful and using rhetoric and critical thinking in the good way instead of in the manipulative bad way. So do we see how critical thinking will prevent us from manipulating? If we have critically thought through our answers, we will have the hope, a reason for the hope that lies within us, the reason why we believe in the way we believe. And if we don't, we can just say, I don't know. We're transparent. I will go back and I will find out why I believe this way, and we will search it out. As we read and write as critical thinkers, as Christians, as we speak as critical thinkers who are Christians, we should always communicate with the highest of integrity and within the boundaries of ethics and morality. If we step outside of that, we have stepped outside of evangelism and apologetics into the area of manipulation. So my friends, when you go to evangelize, when you go to speak, remember that you have to use critical thinking. You have to use rhetorical analysis, but you have to use it because you're speaking the truth and you are transparently speaking the truth in love to those around you. I try to do the same. I pray to God that I do the same. I sometimes fail, but may God help us as we are witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ to those around us, whether it be as a teacher or a deacon, maybe sometimes a chance to preach or in the churches, whatever it may be, or to those of our neighbors around us. May we live as Christians should live in morality, in our critical thinking, and in the artfulness of the way we speak, having our speech as sprinkled with salt to make it tastier to those who believe, but still the truth. Still the best nutritious food possible. So thank you for joining me, and we will see you next time. Have a great and good time until we meet again. God bless.